Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Among our top stories this evening,
First Lady Grace Mugabe heightened her calls today for Deputy President Joyce Mujuru to pack her bags and leave office as factionalism continues to eat on the ZANU-PF fabric ahead of its elective December Congress.
At the moment, you know, every social, every political, every economic group in the country is falling over each other to go and visit at the farm in Magowe and also in Dose.
The Media Monitoring Project of Zimbabwe accuses the state media of compromising journalistic standards and fanning hate speech against Vice President Joyce Mujuru in its handling of the ongoing ZANU-PF factional fights.
We are very concerned by the herald, by the Sunday Mail, very busy, and all media outlets that are owned by the government, because they've reduced themselves to be a mouthpiece of a faction in ZANU-PF.
And the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe says prices of most consumer goods in the country remain high, with a family of six now needing between $550 and $590 to survive monthly.
First Lady Grace Mugabe today once again urged Vice President Joyce Mujuru to pack her bags and go back to her rural home of Dotito in Mashonaland Central for allegedly being corrupt, incompetent, and attempting to topple President Robert Mugabe. Addressing small business entrepreneurs in her Mazoe orphanage, Mrs. Mugabe claimed that the Vice President is now a liability as she is stifling national development due to alleged incompetence. According to the state-controlled Herald and Independent Newsday newspapers, the First Lady told the cheering crowd that the president has the right to appoint a vice president of his choice at the forthcoming December Congress. Her sentiments for Mrs. Mujuru to leave office were echoed by Killer Zivu of the Cross Border Traders Association, that vendors are backing the First Family in cleaning up the ZANU-PF party, allegedly railed by so-called weevils. The papers say Zivu further noted that they want President Robert Mugabe to rule Zimbabwe for another 34 or more years. Independent political analyst Charles Mangongera tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that he does not see the First Lady, Mrs. Grace Mugabe, preparing for the party's takeover by Mr. Emmerson. He did not see that the First Lady is preparing the road for Mr. Mnangagwa to take over, but instead is preparing for a post-President Mugabe era.
It looks like at the moment, you know, every social, every political, every economic group in the country is falling over each other to go and visit at the farm in Mazowe and also in Dose. At this rate, I wouldn't be surprised if you guys in the diaspora were to receive tickets to actually fly to Zimbabwe and go to Mazowe and in Dose as the diaspora. But I think that it's symptomatic of the deep-seated factional fights that we are seeing in the party. I think that the Mugabes are in panic mode, especially the First Lady herself. Why that is the case, I think it's a realization on her part that probably her husband is not going to be here for long. And therefore, you know, there is this fear that if Vice President takes over, she may not get the sufficient guarantees that she needs, not only for her businesses, but for her very young family. So I think that she's panicking, and therefore all of these groups that are going to Mazowe and endorsing the First Family are actually, you know, being coerced to do that.
That was independent political analyst Charles Mangongera speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri from Harare.
Meanwhile, some observers say opposition parties have become mere spectators in ZANU-PF's political games as First Lady Grace Mugabe and her allies make giant strides to push beleaguered Vice President Joyce Mujuru out of the ruling party ahead of the party's elective congress in December. They say factionalism in the party is sparked by the First Lady's calls for Mrs. Mujuru to step down for allegedly being corrupt, incompetent, and attempting to topple President Robert Mugabe have seriously weakened ZANU-PF, which has ruled Zimbabwe for more than 34 years. The observers say it is worrying that opposition parties are not taking advantage of the situation after failing over the years to dislodge ZANU-PF from power. For perspective, ZANU-PF, I beg your pardon, for perspective on ZANU-PF factionalism and its impact on Zimbabweans, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube speaks to one of the observers, independent political analyst Mandla Nkomo, and former educationist and sport minister David Coltart. Coltart says the tactics that are being used by the Mnangagwa group against Mrs. Mujuru are the same that were utilized to decimate parties like ZAPU, Zimbabwe Unity Movement, ZANU-Ndonga, Forum Party of Zimbabwe, and MDC formations.
This storm has been brewing for a long time now. It was very apparent, even during the inclusive government and cabinet, that there were severe tensions between the one faction led by then Defence Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa and the other faction led by Vice President Mujuru. All that we're seeing now is the playing out of that battle. It has been portrayed as a battle between ZANU-PF and a faction led by Vice President Mujuru, but in reality it is a fight being waged by Emmerson Mnangagwa's faction against Joyce Mujuru's faction. And I think what we're seeing is that all the tactics that Emmerson Mnangagwa was able to use against the MDC and before that against ZAPU and other political parties are now being employed against Joyce Mujuru and the people who support her. We see breaches of their constitution. We see these rent-a-crowd mobs being used against leaders, provincial chairs who presumably were lawfully elected into their positions in ZANU-PF being removed. This is leading to their Congress, which is going to be open and shut if they continue like this in the next couple of weeks.
Mr. Komo, Mr. Coulthard actually mentioned that these tactics that are being used by some faction of the ruling party are exactly the same tactics that were used against ZAPU, against ZUM, and all those other parties. What is going to happen to the country? People are concerned, I guess.
Yeah, it's very true. What we get is a picture of a triumphant ZANU-PF. It's like they are saying the opposition doesn't exist anymore, or they have got this belief that they've weakened the opposition to the extent that the only opposition that they find now is internal. The threat to Mugabe's power is actually coming from his own allies. So we are seeing the tactics that have been used against other opponents now being used against the very same ZANU-PF members. What is interesting is that the same people who are now being seen as victims, which includes the likes of Joyce Mujuru, Jabulani Sibanda, are the same people who have been terrorizing people, or at least who have been quiet when the people have been terrorized, been beaten and being killed. So at the end of the day, it's a very interesting situation whereby you see the so-called victims are not really innocent. They have been perpetrators. They have been part of the system for quite some time.
Mr. Coltart, where is all this going at the end of the day?
Well, ultimately, ZANU-PF is going to be seriously weakened by this. If you think of the Zimbabwean electorate as a cake, when the MDC was formed, the MDC took a huge number of voters. And whatever happens now, a further slice of that electoral cake is going to be taken away from ZANU-PF, or at least from the faction which emerges in control of ZANU-PF. You cannot go around vilifying senior leaders like Joyce Mujuru without there being some fallout. The conduct of several of these leaders who have made defamatory statements against Joyce Mujuru will have angered people who've supported her and the people around her for decades. And hurt like that is not resolved overnight. And all it will mean is that come the next election, ZANU-PF will not be as strong as it was in the last election, because the facade of unity within ZANU-PF is stripped away. It is then up to those who oppose this hardline minority who will form the leadership of ZANU-PF to get their act together and to form a united front against these hardliners.
That was former Education and Sport Minister David Coltart. You also heard from independent political commentator Mlamuli Nkomo from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Meanwhile, the MDC renewal team says the current infighting in ZANU-PF has put Zimbabwe on a verge of a political meltdown it says will destroy the people's hopes for a better Zimbabwe. This was said by Secretary General Tendai Biti at a meeting being held in Chitungwiza. Mr. Biti said, and I quote, "The country is burning and the people are looking for answers to the problems they are facing. As the people of Zimbabwe, we have to be serious as we are at a crossroad and we do not know whether we are going right, left, forward or backwards. We have reached an element of doubt," Mr. Biti said, adding that the people's ambitions and dreams for a better Zimbabwe had been shattered by ZANU-PF. He continues that dream has gone. It has been sucked away, and I quote, by Mr. Robert Mugabe and ZANU-PF. "The whole of Zimbabwe is now Zimbabwe ruins. We have no electricity, no money," he said. Mr. Biti said it was an indictment that 75% of the country's population were lodgers and had no hope of owning their own houses because of ZANU-PF's failures since 1980 when the country attained its independence.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe National Students Union says it is against what it says is the manipulation of students by political parties following a rally held yesterday by First Lady Grace Mugabe, with some students being invited to endorse the First Lady in her quest to lead the ZANU-PF Women's League. Speaking at the rally held in Mazowe yesterday, the Zimbabwe Congress of Students ZIKOSU President Leopold Chakanyuka took a cue from the First Lady and urged Deputy President Joyce Mujuru to resign from office, citing a number of allegations, including corruption. Masirawa tells a reporter Tatenda Gumbo the call by ZIKOSU for Mrs. Mujuru to resign is both reckless and unprincipled.
If we are saying that the vice president must resign, like what the comrades from ZANU-PF were saying yesterday, she must resign not on the basis of factional fights within ZANU-PF, but she must resign after she has been proved that she has failed or she is incompetent for that position, of which right now there are no courts which have proved that she has failed to be the vice president of the country, and that does not resonate with the majority of the people.
What are the implications that it is being said that students, quote-unquote, are pushing for Vice President Mujuru to be out of the position?
The implication of that might not be seen today, but the fact that they are calling for Mujuru to step down without proving or without giving enough evidence to say she has failed or she is incompetent, or even without engaging the law courts to prove that she has failed, that only cannot be substantiated. Or from our side, we think these are just factional fights without evidence or without substance.
Will ZANU-PF be seeking to speak with representatives of the Zimbabwe Congress of Students, where you're saying that students should stay out of political issues?
No, we won't engage them in that respect. And besides, the issue of factional fights going on in ZANU-PF, they are not our issue. It's not one of our mandates to question that, but we are simply commenting from the perspective that we need to focus on student issues and not to manipulate students.
That was Zimbabwe National Students Union spokesman Avoid Masiraha speaking with Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
And now we take a look at regional and international news.
Michel Kafando has been sworn in as Burkina Faso's interim president with the task of steering the West African country back to civilian rule. Mr. Kafando pledged to respect both the constitution and the transitional charter during a nationally televised ceremony today in the capital Ouagadougou.
A rights group says police in the Democratic Republic of Congo have executed dozens of young people during an anti-crime campaign that began a year ago. U.S.-based Human Rights Watch released a report today that said Operation Likofi resulted in the death of at least 51 people and the disappearance of at least 33 others suspected of gang activity.
And two Palestinians armed with a meat cleaver and a gun burst into a Jerusalem synagogue today, killing four worshippers during morning prayers before being shot dead by the police. The attack occurred in an ultra-Orthodox area of the city with many immigrants from Western countries. Police say the four people killed were Israelis with dual nationality, three of whom were Americans and the fourth British. Some inhabitants of Mount Darien in Mashonaland Central Province are complaining that their children are being denied their right to education as authorities are ejecting their students from school for non-payment of fees. Thomas Chiripasi visited the area recently and filed this report.
Some villagers in the Dotito area of Mount Darien District here in Mashonaland Central Province, such as Sano Sande, are not happy that several children have dropped out of school because of their parents' failure to raise school fees. Sande, who lives in Chiuta village, tells Studio 7 that most children are now spending their time helping their families in the fields rather than attending class.
The government said that no child should be barred from attending class for non-payment of fees, and we had welcomed that move. We did not produce enough to feed ourselves, let alone pay for our children's fees. But what is surprising is that we are now receiving summons to appear in court for failing to pay fees.
Fibion Muganda, who lives in the Mugari village near Dotito Growth Point, says most parents are failing to pay their children's fees because they have not produced enough to sell to earn their keep. He adds that if a miracle does not happen, most farmers in their area may have to wait until the next marketing season around April next year, when they would have sold their crops to enable them to take their kids back to the desk.
We would want government to intervene. The Minister of Education has said that no child must be ejected from school for non-payment of fees. You can see that we are not getting paid properly for our agricultural produce at the markets, yet inputs are also taking long to get here, even if we get them on loan, so it becomes difficult for us to pay the fees.
Some headmasters in both primary and secondary schools around Dotito refused to discuss the issue with Studio 7, saying their code of conduct does not allow them to speak to the press. Meanwhile, Primary and Secondary Education Minister Lazarus Dokora was quoted at the beginning of the year saying it is government's policy that no student will be denied access to class for non-payment of school fees. The country's new constitution also recognizes every child's right to education. Studio 7 caught up with a divorcee, Benhilda Kwiriwiri, at a beer hall at Dotito Growth Point. She says she has turned from being a housewife to a commercial sex worker in an attempt to raise fees for her two children. Exposing herself to the danger of contracting sexually transmitted diseases such as HIV and AIDS.
We would want government to assist us in funding self-help projects so that we can pay for our children's fees. Most of them are dropping out of school.
Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who hails from the same area, recently held a party at Dotito Secondary School to celebrate her attainment of a PhD degree. This is Mujuru, aged villagers in Dotito to take their children to school, saying education was the cornerstone of national development. Meanwhile, First Lady Grace Mugabe, who has farming and business interests in Mashonaland Central Province, says she is planning to build a state-of-the-art university in the province that would be named after her husband, President Robert Mugabe.
Education is something that is greatly appreciated in this country. And they all know about us. Kanatashika about our education, we stand out. We distinguish ourselves. Even those who are studying outside, they distinguish themselves.
But another Dotito villager, Mavis Nyanguru, says Mrs. Mugabe cannot be taken seriously as she is currently campaigning for a top post in ZANU-PF ahead of the ruling party's elective congress set for next month.
Kids are not going to school. Why can't the First Lady help us so that we are happy and they can continue governing? Mrs. Mujuru is better than her because she is always talking about these issues.
Zimbabwe is rated among one of the most literate countries in Africa. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Thomas Chiripasi in Dotito in Mashonaland Central Province.
The Media Monitoring Project of Zimbabwe, or MMPZ, has accused the state media of compromising journalistic standards and feigning hate speech against Vice President Joyce Mujuru in its handling of the ongoing ZANU-PF factional fight. The MMPZ says state outlets, including the Herald and Sunday Mail newspapers, as well as the ZBC, are grossly biased against Mujuru and her allies, while openly embedding themselves with the ZANU-PF faction allegedly led by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. The media monitoring body has privately owned newspapers have largely handled the factional fights in a professional manner and, according Mujuru, the right of reply. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached MMPZ's Edson Madondo for a comment.
We are very concerned about bias. We are very concerned about failure to adhere to standards, failure to adhere to simple ethics that govern journalism. We are very concerned by the Herald, by the Sunday Mail, ZBC, and all media outlets that are owned by the government, because they have reduced themselves to be a mouthpiece of a faction in ZANU-PF. They should report what is happening without any fear, without any favor. And they should always go beyond what is alleged and look for evidence to prove that such a misdeed, to prove that such incompetence, to prove that such corruption or anything, any malpractice is occurred. They should not just magnify, they should not just amplify what the First Lady is doing.
You are applauding the private press for being objective and maintaining cool heads on this story. But First Lady Grace Mugabe has accused particularly the Daily News of favoring Joyce Mujuru. How do you respond?
The First Lady has lost it on this one. The Daily News and News, they are not being biased if they give the First Lady, if they give the Vice President the right of reply. What the Daily News and News they have been doing is to put to test these allegations. They have said whatever is being said by the First Lady is because of factionalism. The Daily News and News they are saying, please don't sack all Zimbabweans. Please don't drag all Zimbabweans into your discipline. You are having a discipline in ZANU-PF, but you are dragging everyone else.
That was Media Monitoring Project of Zimbabwe official Edson Madondo speaking to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
Ntungameli Nkomo also raged Herald editor Cesar Zhai, who dismissed the MMPZ accusations, saying the state-controlled media is not taking a side.
I would want to know what instrument the MMPZ was using to arrive at that conclusion. Because what we are simply doing as the Herald, we are reporting events as they happen. There's a build-up to the ZANU-PF Congress, and serious allegations have been leveled against the Vice President by the First Lady of the country, or what you can say by one of the incoming senior party members. We are not creating any news. And if you look at our product, there's a clear distinction between news and opinion. There's no commentary in our stories. We're just reporting it as it comes. And if, which is why I said I would want to know the instrument MMPs that was using, because there is a paper in this country that is using opinion on news pages, that is using adjectives in news stories. And I would want to know, what did the MMPs say about the Daily News?
They are saying that the Daily News is balanced because it's giving Vice President Joyce Mujuru the right of reply, unlike the Herald.
To the best of my knowledge, I'm the editor of the Herald. The VP has never been denied any right of reply in this paper. And on Monday, she released a lengthy statement that she supplied exclusively to the Daily News and Newsday. She didn't bring it to the Herald. And we only had to cover it as a follow-up. So any official from her office, I challenged them. There's no day that they came to say they wanted to respond to a story that we published and we denied them that right. No, we've never done that. But what I can tell you about the MMPs, that is, I dismiss whatever it says with the contempt that it deserves. Because it is basically being used as a political instrument.
And that was Herald editor Cesar Jai on the line with Ntungamili Nkomo from Harare.
Following the signing of a memorandum of understanding between the MDC formation of Welshman Ncube and the MDC renewal team, the two parties say they are almost ready to merge into one. Representatives of the two parties yesterday met in Bulawayo to finalize the merger, which is expected next week. Spokesman Nhlanhla Dube dismissed weekend media reports that the parties had settled for former finance minister Tendai Biti to be the leader of the unified party. The state-run Sunday News reported that it had obtained a document entitled The 12-Point Plan, in which BT would head the party, deputized by Welshman Ncube, while NCA leader Love Momaduku would be the secretary general. The spokesman Nhlanhla Dube of the MDC formation told Studio 7 the major talks were at an advanced stage, but he rubbished the Sunday News story.
What is expected to happen, Chris, is that on or before the 30th of November, there will be a meeting of the two parties' national council. They will then look at the agreement, the final agreement, pending amendments, if there are any. That agreement, if adopted, it is going, therefore, to be the document that is that forms the framework of how the parties will walk towards a full reunification. So that document, if accepted, it will in fact signal the commencement of the reunification process. The reunification process is going to move step by step, stage by stage, going through various processes.
Will the reunified party retain the name MDC?
It will all depend, Chris, on what the delegates to Congress decide.
And that was Nhlanhla Dube, the spokesman of the MDC wing of Welshman Ncube. He spoke to Studio 7 online from Bulawayo.
And lastly, Chris, the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe says the prices of most consumer goods in the country have remained high since the beginning of this year, with a family of six expected to fork out between $550 and $590 per month for basic necessities, which is above the poverty datum line of $511. For perspective on this issue, we reached Ambrose Sebindi, Secretary General of the Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association, who says most residents are living in abject poverty.
If you go to Messina, you get about 100 rands, you get your groceries. You'll find that you get a lot of items, but if you come to Zimbabwe, that's nothing. And it's very correct that most people are failing to access their basic needs, simply because the majority of people in Zimbabwe, as I speak now, they are paid around $200. But while you see the poverty datum line lies at all around 550, meaning to say that the majority of people, they are really living in abject poverty and they are really suffering. So the economy of this country is not supporting them, but the business people, they are also charging as they want. So that's the serious challenge we have in this particular country at the moment.
How are the residents coping, seeing that some of them are out of employment?
Well, people are suffering. As I speak now, we've got a lot of dropouts who are not even going to school. We've got a lot of people who have gone into vending. Even if you come to Squatter, for instance, you go to Ngozi Mine there, the numbers are soaring up. They're going up to show that people can't even live in houses. They can't pay rent. So they advised to go and squat somewhere else. It's clear that people are finding it very difficult, and as such, we call upon the government to act, because this situation cannot be allowed to continue like this, because people are really suffering. There's a lot of mugging, there's a lot of stealing, house breaking, what is it?
That was Ambrose Sibende, Secretary General of the Bulawayo Residents Association, on the line from Bulawayo. Chris, unfortunately, time is not on our side. That's all we had for you tonight. But please remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk. Today, the topic is how the media is covering the ongoing